Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com. A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
The Match Ball.
Welcome to the show. It's brought to you by Levi Solicitors, who will give you 10% off your legal fees at levisolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball. I'm Dan Moylan. Hello. Michael's here as well.
Hello.
And so is Daniel Chapman, Moscow White.
Hello.
Well, we're nearly there. Game 37 of the season, the 1990-1991 season, relived game by game in real time, 30 years on, with a match ball on the 30th anniversary of each game as we chart from promotion to lifting the league title in 1992. It's been a great season, and we've got the final home game at Elland Road this season against bitter rivals, Sheffield United. Boo!
They were bitter rivals last season when they could have kept us from coming up and ended up being second behind us. At the moment, though, I think we've shown the difference in class over the last 37 games there. They shouldn't go down, but they are messing around near the bottom of the table, whereas we are messing around up the top.
Because we're brilliant and they are trash. Let's have a look at the lineups then. Some interesting names in both lineups, I would say. I mean, Elland Road looking resplendent today with nearly 29,000 inside it. John Lukic in goal for Leeds United, with Mel Stirland, Glyn Snoddin, Chris Fairclough and Chris White making up the back four. Midfield of David Batty, Andy Williams, Gary McAllister, Gary Speed, with Carl Schutt up front with Lee Chapman and Dylan Kerr, and Bobby Davison on the bench. And in Sheffield United's lineup, one or two names you may recognise and want to keep an eye on. Simon Tracy is in goal, always an interesting character. David Barnes is playing with John Pemberton, Paul Beasley, Richard Lucas, Bob Booker, Jamie Hoyland, Brian Marwood, Vinnie Jones, Brian Dean, Tony Agana, and then on the bench, Mike Lake and Dane Whitehouse. Dave Bassett, their manager.
Howard Wilkinson's very good friend. If you remember, just over a year ago, we were playing them at Elland Road at Easter, and the centre spread poster of the programme was a photograph of the Bassett and Wilkinson families commingling in there. I'm not sure whose back garden it was. It was one or the other, but
maybe they share one.
I bet Howard's got the nicer garden.
You'd think so. But yeah, to show how it should be a friendly Yorkshire rivalry, whereas this time it's all about the rivalry with Vinnie Jones. It's the friends up and down the M1 for this one.
So nearly 29,000 inside the ground, as we said, but in total across the season, 750,000 fans have attended Elland Road, which is not bad going, is it? And what's that we can hear on the PA system today? It's the new number one in the charts. Were you singing along?
Cher.
The Shoop Shoop song, yeah?
Oh, it's a belter, isn't it? I'm glad Chesney Hawks is off number one, to be honest. I'm a bit sick of hearing that one.
Yeah, 5 weeks that's spent at the top. I'm sure that's the last we'll hear from that song anyway.
I mean, good to go back to the 750,000 fans. I think what they've done there is they've added up the attendances, haven't they? It's not individual fans.
What, one game each across the season?
It seems unlikely, is all I'm saying.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's not bad at all.
Which is allowed, by the way. Have you heard of the concept of season tickets?
Yeah. I just think they're stretching the truth a bit by saying...
Are they duking the stats?
750,000 fans have been in. Well, some have been the same people.
And not a hint of trouble out of any of them. That's the significant thing, although there are... Shoop Shoop song will be mixed with the request to stay off the pitch at the end of this one, because they don't want to anything to interfere with the lap of honour.
A teenage Ben Fry barking out the orders.
But bearing in
please
mind...
Please stay off the pitch. Please stay off the pitch. Oh, you're on the pitch. Please get off the pitch.
Bearing in mind, a week before the season started, the FA basically said, any more trouble and we will close this club down entirely. And a few broken seats at Manchester City apart, and a bit of a ruckus that we'll blame on the other Manchester team when they came over. Not a problem.
Vinny is returning to Elland Road. Oh, bittersweet, isn't it? It's always bittersweet when they've left and you're coming back in a different coloured shirt. But he's obviously going to get a warm welcome because of, well, just how good he was for us. The work that he did with Ludo as well, the disabled organisation, just an all-round a top banana.
All forgotten the minute he fouls David Batty. And he's quite rightly labelled a reject.
Yeah, see, Wilkinson predicted that he'd get a warm welcome. This season, our fans have been very appreciative of our opponents, whether they've been ex-Leeds players or anyone else. I don't know if he's just thinking, if he's ignored everything since Roy Wegley's goal, which did get a round of applause. And I suppose people were kind of grudgingly quite nice about John Barnes tearing us to pieces.
It lasted from early in the season till all the way into April.
It's not sure that every match in between
was necessarily. Let's just say throughout it was very welcoming.
There was a lot of appreciation for Lee Sharp's late goal.
Yes.
People certainly made their feelings clear on it. So, yeah.
Yeah, it was all very, very nice at the start with everybody waving to each other and lots of Vinny chants. But then, he went in on Batty. United reject.
It's all good. It was all good spirited, I like to think, anyway. So we were one up inside 11 minutes, continuing that theme of the early pressure and coming out of the blocks quickly for Leeds. And Mel Stirling, I mean, I think he always scores against Sheffield United with a direct from a free kick, doesn't he?
Even when he misses it. I have no idea how this one goes in.
I do.
There's a full wall of people
there. Have you not seen who's in the wall, though? Have you seen who's in the wall? Who's the guy that just inches aside? Have you seen?
I mean, I'd tend to blame Simon Tracy, but he's the one in net, isn't he? So
I mean, it does go through a wall of five men, but the one that happens to shuffle to one side, Brian Dean. You know why he's done that, don't you?
Leeds fan.
Exactly.
Had a word with Mel.
Mystery solved. Call me Nancy Drew.
Kick it straight at me and I'll move out the way. I mean, Simon Tracy also doesn't make a particularly good effort at saving it, does he? It looks like it sort of goes under stroke through him.
Yeah, this is at the cop end. It's Mel. What is he, about 20, 25 yards out? He drills it sort of hard and low, but it is entirely the fault of the wall, because when it goes through the wall, that's not working, is it? Simon Tracy, though, he always adds that kind of slapstick element to everything, does Simon Tracy, because he's got the mullet, which obviously flaps around when he's getting angry and remonstrating with his defence afterwards.
Mullet's gone. He turned up without it this year. It's 1991, and he's finally cottoned on that having that that abomination crawling down his neck is not the way forward. He's trying to be John Lukic, just the bowl cup.
If you're going to have a go at mullets, you've had a word with Snodding?
I mean, that's magnificent. That's
that's different.
That's like telling, I mean,
that's not a mullet, that's a mane.
Yeah.
Go tell it to Simba.
A Simon right. Tracy-style mullet is out of fashion, but a Bryan Adams-style long hair looks perfect on Glyn.
He's got the leather jacket to go with it, hasn't he, as well? So it's a combo that works.
And the tash. Don't forget the tash.
I mean, we're poking fun at Simon Tracy, but he did make some good saves in this game, didn't he?
Yeah,
well, well done for not letting everything in.
It's just whenever Mel Stirling shoots at him, he shits himself. It's like when there'll have been some encroaching on his goal kicks just to frighten him, as we like to do, go running at him. He doesn't like Elland Road, Simon Tracy. But yeah,
I think Elland Road likes him, though.
He tends to be quite entertaining. Yeah, but yeah, he got a save in. Stop McAllister dived at his feet and there was a Chapman header that he dived across to tip away from goal.
Looked spectacular. Not to mention the Chris Fairclough one as well.
Probably a slightly better effort than John Lukic put in for the equaliser.
So yeah, it was 1-0 up to half time, but then early in the second half, Brian Marwood, you see him eyeing that Nike shop as he drove through Leeds. Was there a Nike shop in 91?
I wouldn't have thought so.
He became an ambassador for Nike. That's that. I'm just making a really convoluted reference to that.
He did. He worked at, doesn't he work for Man City now?
Yeah, he's Brian like Marwood, the head of football, head of all sorts of stuff.
The World Football City thing.
Globocop.
That thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, got in there through his Nike thing, didn't he? But yeah, here he is just being a basic bitch playing for Sheffield United.
But he does score from a rebound that Lukic tips out from one. What's that chap's name again? The guy who parted the wall? Brian Dean.
It was classic Sheffield United. This long ball from Tracy, Tony Garner flick on. And you've got Brian Dean in the channel. I don't know why he always seemed to make a habit of this, did Brian Dean, but he's sort of, is the word perpendicular to the goal? He's on the goal line, essentially, and tries shooting. It's never going to go in.
No, it's very narrow, wasn't it? Very acute angle.
But he did somehow manage to bamboozle John Lukic.
It's not like you wouldn't have seen it coming as well, because Sheffield United wearing that away kit is the luminous yellow one with red shorts and red socks.
The Watford kit.
See him coming a mile. Well, it's Watford next to a nuclear power station kit, isn't it? Glowing. And Dino, yeah, down the right, has a shot. Lukic tips it out.
Dino.
That's what I think I'll end up calling him in future.
It's probably what...
Brian Bastard Deed at this stage.
It's probably what Bats called him at school, isn't it?
Yeah.
Pembo. Pembo and Bezo in this team as well, remember?
Not to mention Nagano.
Yeah, I mean, no doubt he'll come on to play a big part in our future, etc. Anyway, yeah, Brian Dean spies the Leeds United net and he has a shot and it ends up going in via Brian Marwood's tap-in. Not great, but it only lasts for 3 minutes because Sheffield United, quite frankly, are shit. And this is a sensational goal by Carl Schutt on 56.
I mean, talking about Simon Tracy shitting himself whenever Mel Sterling shoots at him, I wonder how he felt when this ball started coming vaguely, sort of in his direction, but not really.
Just to talk you through this one, it is slightly insane. And we saw a goal like this earlier in the season. Who was it that played that ridiculous back pass into the mud trench area down the middle of the pitch? I can't remember who it was, but it was almost identical to this. And in the same area as well. So it's in midfield and it breaks towards the west stand. And Batty has it, but he's a little bit sloppy, isn't he, in possession and kind of just concedes possession in midfield. And then, well, what does Bob Booker do? It's a moment of absolute madness.
I mean, he's got loads and loads of time with the ball. It's not one of these where a defender's in a tight spot and they need to get rid of it. He turns and looks. Presumably, Carl Schutt running towards the goal isn't enough to put him off. And he just thinks, probably fine. Simon's a good lad. He knows he'll be straight onto this. And Simon Tracy, for his part, is completely stuck in the mud, just watching in horror as this ball's played through. Schutt runs at him. He just falls over, doesn't he? He doesn't make any particular effort to take it off his toe or anything.
Probably just got a bit angry in the wake of this, as Simon Tracy was prone to doing. But was there a moment where you thought when Schutte goes round him and he kind of plays it early, there's almost an argument for him running it further in and taking a second touch, but he looks at it and sees he doesn't need to. I thought, don't stick in the mud.
Schutte's so excited, though. I think it says a lot about Carl Schutt as a player, because some strikers, they might have just stood and watched that ball go back, but he is motoring. He's predicted that Bob Booker is going to do this and has sprinted onto where this brilliant pass is going to be played for him. And yeah, he played for Sheffield Wednesday for a long time. A lot of the players in this fixture, it's not only the managers who are mates. I'm trying to remember if Simon Tracy was in the card school. They all play cards together with Mel Sterling and Imre Vardy. There's like a little Sheffield gang, and I'm sure Carl Schutt's part of that. And you can see in his celebrations, he runs to the south stand, boots are hoarding.
Although he kind of pulls out of that, doesn't he? You can see he's about to twat it really hard and he goes, actually, it might hurt. He just does a little tap in the end.
It might be more that he might be fine. I might have to pay for this if I damage it. And then he does a big point over at where the Sheffield United fans are in the corner.
The kicking of the hoarding, if zero is not touching it and 10 is Tamiri Ketsbaya, what did he do?
It's a 1.5 at most.
the gesture to the Sheffield United fans is probably the bigger one when he realises... And he's so far away from them as well. It's like he points over and just goes, ha! And then back to celebrating with the Leeds fans.
I will never sell any of you a holiday in my future career, which will probably be in the travel industry.
It's just great that he has that in his mind. Of like, I'm in the middle of a celebration to just turn to the away fans and go, ha!
And say ha, he did. And 2-1, it finished to Leeds United. And a nice end. It's always nice when, even there's nothing really at stake now at this stage in the season, finishing with a home win. There's a nicer feeling to the lap of honour, isn't there, at the end when that happens?
And as well, that it's getting a bit warmer now, isn't it? You go to the game in a shirt, maybe, out in town afterwards. Good days.
Go to Mr. Craig's?
Yeah, why not?
At this stage, I'm guessing.
I mean, I'm like 6-7 years old now, so...
Yeah, you're probably not...
Probably not going to bother.
Give it a couple of years at least, yeah. Table then, after this one, with only one game left to play. Everybody in the division has played 37 games, with the exception of Manchester United and Spurs, who presumably have to play one another. Arsenal are top. They've played 37 with 80 points. Liverpool also played 37. They've got 73 points. So that is it. The league title is over. Arsenal are the champions of Division 1. Palace are third on 66. We are fourth on 64 points. So we can still take third on the final day of the season. So there's still something to play for. Presumably, you know, that's a good £2-3 million worth of prize money. That's how it works, isn't it?
Not so much. Not so much. I mean, credit to Arsenal. Lost one game all season. Ridiculous.
Behind us then, Manchester City are in fifth on 59, so they can't catch us. Manchester United still have 6 points to play for, so they can technically finish above us, but it would involve one of those kind of combinations of results on the final day and a goal difference swing that we don't need to go into here. And then Wimbledon in seventh on 55. Relegation settled for Derby. They are definitely down because they are on 24 points, but there's still plenty to play for. With only two teams going down, it's going to be either Sunderland or Luton on the final day, because they have played the same number of games. They've got the same number of points, 34, and same goal difference with only four goals separating them. So still drama late in the season to be played for.
Young Angus Kinnear, absolutely living on his nerves for the next week.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Well, we spoke about full-time and please stay off the pitch. We did. We did stay off the pitch for the lap of honour, which was very civilised of us. Best behaved supporters in the land, we are.
Howard Wilkinson said before the game that our supporters have been magnificent all through and we owe it to them to finish the season as high as we possibly can. And so the players beat Sheffield United to contribute to that and the fans stayed off the pitch doing their bit. Everybody is very nice and friendly at Elland Road. It's what people have been saying for years.
And we have new hooligan laws then. Are these special Leeds United laws or are they for everybody?
They'll be for everybody. Yeah, the government has plans for next season that pitch invasions, had we been tempted to try any, will actually be against the law, along with throwing missiles and the chanting of racialist or indecent abuse.
How are we defining indecent?
Do you want to test it? I think it's got a few chants in mind.
Yeah. I think it's something we can come to test in the next few years.
You sing something and we'll tell you whether we approve or not.
I'll have a think.
It's all part of, because fences are coming down after the Taylor report, so how do you keep football fans off the pitch?
Used to keep the bad words in, didn't it, the fence?
Dropped off when they hit the mesh.
Yeah, exactly.
That kind of thing. I understand exactly what you mean. Yeah. So yeah, fence is coming down, which is good. Not something we've seen for many years. Not something I don't think we would have necessarily forecast, let's say, you know, 5-6 years ago, when you think about what happened at Birmingham at the end of the season, when it just absolutely went insane.
And the thinking on it is good as well, in that they're trying to treat people attending football matches as normal, civilised human beings, which is also quite a change, isn't it?
Have we got the recording of what Lord Morris, the Welsh peer, said in the House of Lords?
I think I've got the clip here. Hang on, Moscow. I'm just going to queue it up.
From Cardiff.
Welsh tends to turn into Indian, which we must find a way by which we can treat people attending football matches as normal, civilised human beings. If any of you had to attend a performance at the Royal Opera House and had to view the stage through a wire mesh fence with barbed wire on top, you might justifiably feel you had cause for both complaint and resentment.
You can hear in the recording there, you could hear the laughter at what a ridiculous suggestion it was.
Yes, in the House of Lords there, yeah. Goodness me.
I mean, he was a Lord, so he probably didn't sound Welsh at all. He probably sounded, oh, hello. Just because they all sound a bit like that, don't
they? Well, you had your shot and now you've done some racism, so you've got to live with the consequences.
Oh, dear.
Transfer speculation. Plenty of this going on as we head towards the close season. We're about to go into the market, but are other people?
Well, Graham Souness was sniffing around our game with Sheffield United. He was there until midway through the second half. I think he probably decided at that point that Bob Booker is not the defender he needs for next season, so went home. Rumours that it's David Batty he was watching. He's been linked to Liverpool an awful lot this time last year after he'd lost his place to Chris Kamara when we were going for the second division title. There was some rumours that we were going to swap Batty for Peter Beardsley. And obviously the Peter Beardsley talk has never gone away. We do need some kind of centre-forward as a partner for Chapman, although Kyle Schutt may have played himself into contention. I don't know if David Batty has also played himself into staying in the Leeds team or whether we'd be tempted to cash in.
I mean, Liverpool did look good anyway, and I do tend to think Batty instead of Molby might be a more mobile option for them, given the way he was playing. But let's keep him, eh?
I think David Batty, being a Leeds lad, he's just never going to leave, is he? He's destined to spend his whole career at Elland Road.
And that hometown thing is part of the other main rumours of the week. Chris Fairclough being spoken about as constantly on the verge of going back to Nottingham. But he's not having any of that speculation. He says he's been into Howard Wilkinson to tell him himself that there's nothing in it.
Do a Nottingham accent.
I've heard the rumours frequently. All I know how to say in a Nottingham accent is Nottingham itself, which is Nittingham.
Just channel Patrick Bamford. He's Nottingham, isn't he?
I mean, accentless, that's the thing, isn't it? Anyway, that's not my department. Chris Fairclough says that that the rumours are, quite frankly, getting on his nerves, and he wants to make it clear there's no truth. People have thrown everything at him, that he doesn't like living in Leeds, his wife hasn't settled and wants to go back to Nottingham, that they both want to go back, but it's all absolute nonsense. I actually love playing for Leeds United at the moment. I'm enjoying my football. I enjoy living in Leeds, and he's very pleased to be standing captain, regards it as an honour. And Mandy Fairclough has just had another baby as well. Jordan.
You're not going to start moving, are you, when Jordan's just been born?
No. So Chris Fairclough going nowhere, David Batty, Graeme Souness can piss off, and Gordon Strachan is the best player in the country.
I mean, why would anyone need to go anywhere else? You've got Harrogate just up the road, so Betty's is there. You've got the Yorkshire Dales on your doorstep. Everything's going on.
It's all better than Nittingham, isn't it? What have you got there? You've got the Robin Hood experience, probably.
I went to the Robin Hood experience not so long ago, actually, in Sherwood Forest. Very disappointed to find it is just a walk through the trees.
They do have caves in Nottingham. They're quite interesting. Right in the middle of it as well.
Do the Outlaws live in any of those?
Yeah, I think that's part of it.
There's a tree there that's hollow. It's a hollow tree, and they reckon that like some of the Outlaws used to hide in that. That's the main attraction of Sherwood Forest, is a hollow tree.
Most of what I know about Robin Hood, and I suppose therefore Nottingham, is based on that thing, that Disney one where they're all animals, which I'm not sure is going to be of much use.
Well, it's 1991, big summer blockbuster, Prince of Thieves.
Mm.
Robin Hood Prince of Thieves is going to be coming out.
Maybe watching that will be enough for Chris Fairclough to decide, actually, I do want to go back to Nottingham after all.
Well, let's hope it doesn't turn his head.
Poor Jordan. Poor Jordan. Leave him in Leeds, I say.
And from the deputy standing captain to the overall club captain who has won stuff, Gordon Strachan. Well, I mean, we know that the PFA award that we mentioned earlier in the season, bollocks, isn't it? No one cares about that.
Well, it's voted for by footballers and they're thick, aren't they? What do they know?
Whereas Gordon Strachan, Football Writers Association Player of the Year, we all know that football journalists are all stand-up guys and have got a lot of common sense and are not in any way swivel-eyed and or myopic.
Well, it's all the more impressive that a Leeds player has won it then, in that case, because we're not exactly media darlings, are we? And to win it over Gazza and Stuart Pearce, who are both reasonably popular, aren't they? They were still in the post-Italia 90 world where they're still national heroes. So for Gordon Strachan to win it by such a margin in a season where they're also playing well is amazing and well-deserved.
Yeah, and the fourth Leeds player to win it after Bobby Collins, Jack Charlton, Billy Bremner, taking 39% of the votes, which is more than twice what Stuart Pearce got in second with Gazza in third. What did Wilco have to say?
His award, so important to the club because it means we're starting to make a bit of history ourselves. I want to create a new era of success at Leeds United, and I would love to see Gordon holding a major trophy in the future.
Let's hope so. That's a nice future.
Data systems. Yeah. He found out about it himself, Gordon Strachan, and he was in San Marino on international duty, so he's had quite the week because he also captained Scotland for the first time and scored a penalty. And he was saying in his column that it's only a couple of years since him and I think it was Kenny Dalglish and a couple of other sort of Scotland old boys were playing golf while there was a Scotland international on, and they all regard themselves as out of the picture. And now there he is back as captain, and he's had a hell of a week.
Well, football's over in Leeds for this season. One more to go when we reconvene in a few days' time, May the 11th. Nottingham Forest is the final game of the season where maybe we can go experience the Robin Hood thingy. We could go prance around in the trees. And before that Robin Hood Prince of Thieves movie comes out, I think I'm going to go to the pictures tonight, maybe watch Mermaids, because that's what Cher is from, isn't it? It's from that soundtrack.
I was going to say, we shouldn't do anything too exciting in Nottingham because Chris Fairclough might not come back to Leeds with us. So I say we go there, get the 3 points, get the hell out.
Just keep it all okay.
Yeah.
Hooters right. Hasn't opened yet, has it?
Should we go find out? See if 6 or 7 year old you gets in. Right, we'll catch you in a few days' time. See you in a bit.
The Match Ball.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.